The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, are by no means in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a leader who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them on to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord. By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted away. Please be seated. Today's feast is a most extraordinary one, a most special one. Far from being an afterthought or a footnote, an appendix to Christmas, this is really the crown of Christmas, the 12th night. Now, Epiphany should be celebrated on January 6th, but in countries where the 6th of January is no longer a public holiday, the Church has moved the celebration to the nearest Sunday, so that no one misses the Mass of Epiphany. Epiphany has been celebrated in the ancient world from the 200s. And even though Christmas began to be celebrated on the 25th of December at about the same time, Epiphany was originally a bigger feast day than Christmas. It was a bigger feast day because of what it meant, what it signified to converts to Christianity who were not Jewish. The coming of the kings, the wise men, to the stable at Bethlehem meant that Almighty God, from the very beginning, wanted non-Jewish people to find his son. We were not an afterthought. We were not added on. From the very beginning, God intended the light of his son's coming to shine in the whole world. And so the wise men came to represent all the peoples of the earth who were drawn to the very light of Christ, to whom Jesus manifests himself. That's the meaning of the word epiphany. Epiphany means in Greek a showing of God's light, a manifestation of God's being. That's what the wise men found. The star was the sign that brought them to Bethlehem, but the light was Christ himself, enthroned on his mother's knee, when they entered the house and fell down before him and worshipped. Now, St. Matthew is the only one of the evangelists who records the coming of the wise men. And for him, this was a very important moment to record because it is the fulfillment of the Jewish scriptures. You heard Isaiah speak about people coming on camels from the east with frankincense and gold. And the psalmist David speaks of kings falling down before him and opening their gifts before the Lord. Matthew wanted us to understand that those prophecies come to their fulfillment in the Epiphany, when the wise men worship the Christ child. This day, then, continues to be a glorious day of celebration. In the Orthodox churches, Epiphany is still a greater feast than Christmas. Christmas is considered a private, an intimate feast, the birth. But this is the showing, the revealing. And so for many, this will be the day of their celebration. That is the sixth this week. In some traditions, the three kings continue to come and give presents to children. And there are other traditions of that sort that are very beautiful, very important. Much of what we cherish about the visit of the wise men, though, is not explicit in Matthew's gospel, but is the result of later tradition. St. Matthew does not tell us that there were three wise men, but he tells us that there were three gifts. And because of this, very early on, art began depicting the wise men as three in number, one with gold, one with frankincense, and the last with myrrh. In fact, one of the earliest Christian paintings that we have, and the earliest image of the Blessed Mother, is a painting in a Roman catacomb that was done before the year 250. And that image shows Mary seated on a bench with the Christ child on her lap, a star over her head, and three wise men bearing gifts. And to show that they are foreigners, they wear a cap that's very distinctively from Phrygia, which was east of Israel. That's the first image of Christmas that we have. And it's remarkable that it is so early. As time went on, Christian traditions and legends began to account other details for the wise men. There's a very early tradition that they themselves received a visit after the ascension of Jesus into heaven from St. Thomas the Apostle. And that Thomas the Apostle baptized them and ordained them priests, telling them the conclusion of the story of Christ's life and making them apostles to their own peoples. The names given to the three are Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. And art began to depict them in a way that would relate them to as many people as possible. So soon they began to be depicted as one young, one middle-aged, one older, in order to show us that we can find Christ at any period in our lives. He may reveal himself. And further, again as time went on, they began to be depicted in three different races. So one was European, one was African, and one was Asian, to represent all of the peoples of the earth. So the three kings became very beloved figures. Tradition says that they died in Persia, and their tombs became places of pilgrimage. Their bodies were later translated by the Roman emperors from Persia to Constantinople and enshrined in one of the great basilicas there that has been destroyed by Muslims over the ages. During the Middle Ages, the bodies of the three kings were transferred from Constantinople to Europe, and they are enshrined in the cathedral at Trier in Germany, where they are the object of great pilgrimage. The three kings rest in a triple coffin shaped like a church, made out of fine woods and covered in gold. And just a few years ago, Pope Benedict XVI had one of the World Youth Days celebrated at Trier, and to the millions of young people who came from all over the world, the Holy Father pointed out the example of the three wise men who went out in search of God and found him. And the Pope said, "That is what you must do. That is the challenge that is yours. You must go out and seek Christ. You will find him because he is seeking you. So the wise men remain for us a very powerful image and a very powerful proof to us of God's desire that all men and women come to know his Son and be filled with his light. The gifts that the wise men give are symbolic gifts, symbolic of Christ's true nature, and they continue to fascinate us. In front of me, there are three little boxes here that were presented to me as a Christmas present this year. National Geographic put them out. They're copies of the gifts of the wise men. So one has frankincense, the other myrrh, and the third some flecks of gold leaf preserved in a liquid gel. Now, gold, of course, is a gift fit for a king. Frankincense is the sign of worship. And in the ancient world, in the different religious traditions, frankincense was the most expensive and the most fragrant of incense. And it was only used for the great God, whoever he might be, from one country to the next. Myrrh is the more mysterious gift, because myrrh was used for many things in the ancient world. It was considered a kind of antiseptic because it had a bitter, cleansing perfume. It was used for toothpaste in some nations, but its most common usage was for the dead. The myrrh plant was put into tombs, and sprigs of myrrh were wrapped into the folds of a shroud over dead bodies because it took away the smell of decay. It wasn't an appropriate gift for a newborn baby. It's like giving someone a cemetery plot at Christmas. A little questionable. But this gift signifies that the wise men understood mysteriously something about the child and about his coming into the world, that he came into the world to die for the world. So the gifts of the wise men have an historic significance, but they also have a personal significance for us. Epiphany is a feast of adoration. That's what the three wise men did when they entered the house where Jesus and Mary were to be found. According to the gospel, they entered the house and fell on their faces. They prostrated themselves. Our translation simply says they knelt down and paid him homage. The Greek verb is very specific. They prostrated themselves, meaning they lay down, they touched their foreheads to the floor as a sign of their unworthiness in the presence of this newborn baby in a poor family. That's the extraordinary act of adoration, worship. And you and I are meant to do the same thing. We come to Bethlehem whenever we come to Mass, because the name Bethlehem is Hebrew for house of bread. That's why Jesus is born there, because he comes to make himself the bread of life, because we will encounter him here at the altar and here at the communion rail. This is Bethlehem for us. So when we come to Mass on Sunday, the first thing we're supposed to do is not ask for more favors, nor even thank him for what he's already done. The first thing we do is adore, worship. My God, there is no one like you. My God, I owe everything to you. You are all powerful. You are all good. You alone are worthy of my love and my loyalty. You alone have given me life. That's the spirit that we're meant to have. So perhaps on this Epiphany, we need to think a little bit about how we come into church, how we genuflect, how we keep still, how we pray. Does this express adoration and worship? Or do we treat our church like any other building that we walk into? The beginning of the year is a time for us to examine the way we do things and improve. The gifts that they offer are gold, which is considered the most permanent and lasting of riches. Do I live my faith with constancy? Do I offer to God my best frankincense, my highest worship, my greatest honor, my truest loyalty? Myrrh, bitterness, suffering, sorrow. Do I bring to the Lord my sufferings and my sorrows and unite them to the sufferings of Jesus? Do I talk to him on the cross when the cross weighs heavily on me? Do I remember that he has suffered so that I do not suffer alone? Do I think about those things? That's critically important. That's the only way we get by. That's the only way we survive. It's by doing this, you see, that we're able to take Christmas with us every day of the year, long after we've boxed up the ornaments and put away the tree and replaced everything as it ought to be for next year's, for this coming December. But we have to carry the light with us. We have to carry the fire, the warmth with us. Because you're meant, not just to find Christ Jesus, but to show him to others. The tradition, as I said to you, is that the wise men received the full story, were baptized and ordained, and became missionaries in their own country, and brought the faith to others. You are meant to do the same thing. Not just me, you. Whoever you are, and whatever your time of life may be, you're meant to make it easier, you're meant to make it possible for others to find Jesus because of the way you live. Because of the simple, quiet loyalty of your faith. Because you should be different from other people. Because Christ dwells in you, and you dwell in him. And with all our faults, and with all our sins, and with all our failings, you still can be a marvelous instrument of Jesus. Because he knows the efforts you make. He knows the loyalty that is within you. He knows and he honors everything that you're trying to do to live good lives. And that makes you real witnesses in the world today. You perhaps don't realize the influence that you have on others. But he does. And he wants to use that for the good. So today, as we contemplate the babe in his mother's arms, the wise men who kneel before him with such joy at having found Christ, let us ask the Lord to help us, to grant us the grace both to hold fast to that joy and to be unafraid to share it. If we do this, then Epiphany continues throughout the year, and we will never lose our Christmas joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.